Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here on talk808.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining in. You know that you can go to EnviroWatch.org, that's EnviroWatch.org, and look and learn and read about many of the projects that we do in the environmental community and what have you, and right here also on the Carol Cox Show, which is basically the same, talking about the various issues. You can also go to olelo.org and you can look at some of the shows that we've produced there. And we've gotten a new series time schedule. We'll announce that as well. But today we're going to be talking about EALs and the Department of Health and Red Hill, the bunker storage system there in Red Hill here on the island of Oahu. Now, there are some very serious concerns, and I've made my position known on this publicly in the initial stages of the coming clean, so to speak, on behalf of the DOH, EPA, and the Navy as it relates to transparency or lack thereof. If you know the history of me being involved in this, is that I've stated on record in public forum that anything from the date of that public meeting, the first public meeting that they held, is a ruse. It's nothing but a shibai. It's a big lie. I provided lots of documentation to Senator Mike Gabbard, Representative Chris Lee. They didn't even have the courtesy of saying thank you for the documents. And we read them and are concerned. So we're left to our own accord here in our own potentials that we might have to deal with this. I then didn't trust what was happening with Red Hill, and today I still don't. In fact, my concerns are even graver now than before. And the reason that is that there's a thing called the environmental action levels. And these action levels are all to do with talking about, let's just so in a layman's term, and I'm expecting Mr. Walter Chan to come in and call in and talk with me as well, joining me on the phone here. And this is going to be difficult walkthrough, but and I'm going to be reading a lot because I'm not an engineer and don't pretend to be one, but I can read and I can go back and look at the historical footpath or footsteps that was left and make some sense of it. But, folks, we have some serious problems. And, you know, we're in this mode now, global warming. And I pointed out to you over the years, the state of Hawaii seems to be, it's like a little kid in the audience. Whatever song is being sung, they'll join in chorus, but really never knowing the real meaning of the word, the true intent of the song, the lyrics, or even understand where they arrived or how they were derived. It's at one time we had the term hot spots. Was a big term, you know. We're going to fix that. Everything was a hot spot. And then biodiversity and sustainability. And now the state of Hawaii is operating under the terms of and the fright and the fearful impacts of global warming. So if you anything that they do, they could be committing the worst of violations, but they'll call it global warming. So they get it. I think this is Mr. Walter Chan now. Let's see. Good morning. Thank you for calling the Carol Cox Show. Is this Walter?
Hey, Carol. This is Walter.
Okay. Hey, thank you for joining me here. I'm just getting going and perfect timing. And I want you, if you could, introduce yourself And I pulled up your document, by the way, of the failure to protect our military families. That one you wrote about, what was it, about a six-page, seven-page document?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about yourself and what you've been up to, and as well, and let's talk about these EALs, Environmental Action Levels.
Okay. I'm a safety engineer by education, and I've been working in the safety and health world for the last 50 years. And I first encountered the problem with contaminated soils working on a project at Kaneohe Marine Base. And I worked with a contractor, and I was a general manager with the construction company at the time. And the Navy required us to spread this contaminated soil in the neighborhoods. We mm-hmm. had to use it as topsoil. And obviously I objected, and we went through this big rigmarole with the Navy and the State Department of Health. And basically what happened was the Department of Health didn't feel that they had authority, and so the Navy just spread this contaminated soil in the neighborhood. Subsequently, though, the government created a program called the Public-Private Venture, where private contractors now partnered with the government, and they're building, they're knocking down the old homes and building the new military family housing. In that process, they excavate organochlorine pesticides, and it's been mixed with the soil, and obviously it creates a problem. Well, in their plans to manage the soil, they're basically saying they're gonna separate the contaminated soil and bury it and do a bunch of other things. But the plan has no oversight or monitoring. The Department of Health claims that they don't have the resources. And just recently they informed me that the Navy does not want oversight from the Department of Health, and so they would not allow it or something like that.
Uh-huh.
The problem with the contaminated soils, the pesticides anyway, is the state started using their environmental action levels, these EALs. And, you know, they continuously say that the EALs are based on the EPA Preliminary Remediation Guide, the PRG, and that they are protective. Well, the PRGs is a very general number, and it's based on calculation alone. However, the EPA also says that on a site-specific site, you need to do your own risk assessment for human health exposure, for exposure to the environment, and that kind of stuff. Just using the number by itself is really not a prudent or responsible thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, Hawaii adopted those, started using them. And in many cases, when they run into a problem with higher levels, they just increase the EALs. And so the contractor has been able to build all these neighborhoods with these, with all the different housing with elevated, organochlorine pesticides in the soils. Now there is an illness cluster or clusters of illnesses in and around these homes. So in late 2013, early 2014, an informal survey, an illness survey was conducted by the military families. And it actually shows clusters of cancer, skin problems, respiratory diseases, and a number of other illnesses. And nobody can explain why, other than the fact that we know the families are living in and around neighborhoods with contaminated soils. In a recent meeting I just had with the Department of Health, the HERE office, and that's the group that does these environmental evaluations, we recognize that the EALs is something they're using as an exposure standard or a cleanup standard, which EPA does not recommend at all.
That's not the purpose of EALs.
Exactly. It's used basically as a guide to trigger you to do more things, to do more studies, more investigations and risks and stuff. But what it means when they say we're going to increase the EAL, let's use a magic number of 1.6. That's the recommended preliminary remediation guide for EPA. Its calculation is based on the fact that if you were exposed to this for your whole life, the chances of you getting cancer is maybe 1 in a million. one in a million is pretty much the accepted risks in our society. If I say to you tomorrow, well, that's okay. What we're going to do is we're going to expose you to something that will only increase your risk for, instead of one in a million, it'll be one in 100,000. How many people are willing to accept an increased risk in cancer, especially for their family or children?
Uh-huh.
The thing to remember about children is we can't really predict the risk for them because their bodies are, you know, constantly changing and developing. They're growing. So whenever they change these EAL, what they're basically saying is we're increasing the risk to Hawaii citizens to a factor of, let's say, 10 to an increased risk of cancer or illnesses.
Uh-huh.
The other thing to remember about these EALs, it does not consider what it does to the environment. So if I increase the level of organochlorine pesticides in your yard, when it rains and the wind and the tracking, a lot of it will get dumped into the ocean. It'll go in the ocean, fish will eat it, and then we'll enter our food chain. Because in Hawaii, a lot of us, when we fish, we eat the fish. And so chlordane is, for example, one of the things you know that we're sensitive about. EPA has been sensitive in the past about it. But the biggest issue for us now is the Hawaii Department of Health can issue these EALs. There is no public comment. There is no rule or regulation established by it. It's just something that they do. It causes an increase in cancer and illnesses, and all they can tell us is, based on our calculations, our numbers are conservative. Since this started in 2006 till now, one of the questions I asked the HERO office was, have you done studies? Have you checked illness rates? Have you done environmental samples, checked the sediment, the marine life? And they had not. So it's strictly somebody sitting at a desk calculating some numbers, and I call it moving the decimal point.
Uh-huh.
So in the latest thing that I read between you and the Board of Water Supply and the TPH and stuff, I'm appalled that the state is doing the same thing. They're increasing the EALs for drinking water, which increases the risk of illnesses and, you know, environmental contamination. And those things are not considered in their calculations. So how is it that the Department of Health can do all of these things, implement these crazy EALs without getting public notice or public input and without the legislature or anybody exercising any oversight over this department? It is loud and crazy over there. They're just making these things up as they go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there are so many things that come into play here. The EALs, and you and I are familiar with Kaneohe Marine Base, Schofield Barracks, Hickam, and where chlordane, Dieldrin, Aldrin, it comes into play in those situations. In Hickam, for example, the EALs were at a certain level, and they got themselves in a bind because they removed a lot of the soil where they weren't supposed to. Those fixed under those old military buildings where they used to inject in the ground the organic chlorides or what have you, the termiticides. And so they actually had workers, and we've talked about this on the show and documented it, that got fell ill from working in those trenches. Here's what we learned. The DOH in their records have a battery of letters and instructions to the Air Force saying, your folks that live there the residents should not be growing vegetables. Right?
Right.
The soil has a 3-inch layer of topsoil to cover the contaminated soil that was wrongfully, improperly placed. But it wasn't. It's part of a scheme that is set up. So now they say, well, and also we don't want you to have it contact with the skin. Wash the kids' clothes, wash the kids' hands, wash their feet when they come in from out of doors. And the bigger issue was Well, now we have that. We have a problem. We've lost control of the soil. It's too massive of a problem. So can you change the EALs? So the state says, well, we can do that. And they did that. They changed the EALs because they say, well, the average work person that live on Hickam only stays there for 3 years at most.
They changed it to 9 years now.
Yeah, so exactly. That's what we're working up to. So they are so liberal in giving the military what it wants. And it's a shameful situation. And you and I and the other citizens here are actually being exposed to toxins that we should not be, and they're deadly. And they're carcinogenic, they're problematic. And yet, all they need to do, as you say, is move the decimal. And when you look to see who's moving the decimal, who is actually being the person that can change these numbers, and what are they basing these numbers on? Roger Brewer.
Right, and he does it based on calculations.
Yeah, and models, and it's not a strikeout at Roger Brewer, but it's a strikeout at the system to say that you have a fiduciary responsibility and you adopted EPA's rules and standards and you said, let us enforce it. But now we have a problem. Red Hill, here's another one. And I know we're talking in general about EALs, but here back in 2009, sampling done at Red Hill, and give you the listeners an idea of what you and I are talking about. During the summer and fall of 2008, this report says, Hawaii Department of Health updated their EALs. Updated. Okay. What were they updating? Are these something that go out of fashion or come in and out of fashion? Why would you need to update them when it's there to say that if you detect constituents of concern in water, soil, or air, you must take certain measures, am I correct?
Right, but I would also think that you would update them, Carol, if they were like, all of a sudden you had, over a period of time, you had complaints of illnesses.
Right.
You've done further investigations and those kinds of things. And complaints that go to the Department of Health are law. They are not responded to.
Right. So anyway, it goes on, updated their EALs, which resulted in significant changes to the action levels associated with methyl naphthalenes, in which we know they can be horrendous. They are connected to cancer. EPA has proven that. The drinking water toxicity EALs for these compounds were each previously 240 micrograms per liter, assuming they were not carcinogenic. Evidence that they are carcinogenic to humans has now been accepted by the United States Environmental Protection Agency, and DOH adopted a more rigorous EAL of 4.7 milligrams per liter for methyl naphthalene and 24 milligrams for 2-methyl naphthalene, HDOH, that's in 2008. Is that a rigorous change when they're still not required to do anything?
Right. They didn't provide justification, and again, they don't notify us.
Right.
So the public is not able to participate in and submit comments and ask about, well, how safe is it? You know, what is your proof really?
Uh-huh.
Besides you're moving the decimal around all over the place, what kinds of health studies? How does it affect children? There's a lot of questions. And I think one of the things that is really important was in the early days, in 2013 or so, one of the military families that was complaining about the illnesses and the issues at Kaneohe, for example, was told, well, you know what, you're the only one complaining. And at that time, that wasn't true, because there were families at Hickam and other areas that were complaining as well. Well, subsequent to that, over 100 complaints got submitted to the Department of Health. And the response to all of these families, zero. No actions were taken. And you got to remember, and I think one of the important things for us to remember is when a military family member complains, the retaliation and the fear, just the fear alone of reprisal, is outstanding. some of the families that I know of that complained of illnesses at Hickam, they were ultimately transferred and then finally kicked out of the service. And so it's one of these things that military families have to live with what they get, despite the fact that the taxpayer pays millions of dollars for these homes, and what we expected to do was to increase the quality of life for them, and that's not happening. It seems that the Department of Health is more looking at the cost of losses or the impact to profitability to the companies rather than human health and protection of the environment.
Uh-huh. What do you suggest we do? I mean, this is very serious, and the average person, a citizen, wouldn't understand when you say EALs. It's what does that mean? It's an acronym, but what does it mean, and who handles it? Well, what are you thinking that we should do at this point? Because ultimately, we all are going to be being impacted by it.
Carol, I will tell you, I've been actively trying to figure out what to do since 2006.
Uh-huh.
I've submitted complaints to the Navy, to the Inspector General's office, to EPA, to the EPA Inspector General's office, to the governors, my correspondence to the governors, I don't even get a response. The congressional delegations, several times, and I just don't know who else to go to other than to keep bringing it up and hoping that at one point we will get some attention to this issue. The biggest issue for me right now is the Department of Health is they've run amok. They're out of control.
Uh-huh.
And so how do we get some kind of oversight and get them back on track? I intend to send a letter to the governor and ask him to do something. I sent you a copy of the letter I sent to the director. And maybe perhaps meeting with members of the Oversight Health Committee in the legislature.
Uh-huh.
To try to explain it to them. You're right. It's a very difficult, complicated kind of thing to explain. But each year we let this go. And each year they keep increasing those EALs. It will change our whole environment in this state, not only today, but for our future generations.
And it's one of the concerns I have is that while this is occurring, there's no monitoring. There's nothing, studies occurring at the same time to determine by increasing the EALs and exposing people to these toxins or chemicals or constituent concern, what do you do?
Well, one of the things is in the very rare instances where the contractors or the government will conduct sampling, generally they fight it a lot. But when they do the sampling, the process they choose is, again, not the complete process.
Uh-huh.
They pick and choose different things that they want to do. And so, for example, the Department of Health promotes this multi-incremental sampling and composite sampling, and it has its place. However, what I've been finding is the contractors will take a portion of it, and let's say they'll take 50 samples, and they'll say, this 50 samples represents 150 square feet. But it doesn't, or it may affect a bigger area. And so the big question is the sampling representative? And what we find is it's not. Chain of custody is broken constantly. And the state accepts these reports. I don't understand, other than the fact that I don't think they understand the sampling reports themselves.
I don't understand what the Navy expects, let's say, at Kaneohe Marine Base. I have a letter here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a battery of letters. First of all, the Navy does not believe that if land under their control, the state has any jurisdiction. A case in point at Y. Kelly Caves, for example, and Ed Case was representing the Navy or through another attorney for a law firm. By a notice of a violation dated November 4th, 2010, the city and county of Honolulu claimed that the Navy FIV were violating specific city ordinances with respect to certain Waikele Gulch land uses. The Navy did not relate to use of the Waikele system. Navy position, with which FIV had concurred, was that Waikele Gulch is subject to exclusive federal jurisdiction and that the city does not have jurisdiction to issue a notice of violation. And that applies to the state, too. But the state, what is so suspicious and lends to my concern that they're just covering up for the Navy, and that is they don't have jurisdiction, and they'll tell you they don't have jurisdiction. It's a an entity that is on its own, the Navy. It's here, but we have no, our laws and enforcement authority does not really come into play. Now, they've told me that, and there is also, it is in writing. How do we get around that when yet, if the state health department does not have a right to go on and enforce, and it's not their jurisdiction, then how can they rely on the state to change the EALs when they need them?
Right. It's at their convenience. One of the things is where the state doesn't have jurisdiction or authority, EPA does.
Right.
And so the big battle between EPA and DOD is simply that, you know, who has jurisdiction over what agency. EPA supposedly has authority and jurisdiction over DOD in areas where it doesn't involve defense,
uh-huh.
So, you know, things that they do for combat and that kind of stuff. But as far as storage of hazardous materials, handling and discharging of hazardous materials, discharging to the ocean, for example, should come under the State Department of Health. In my meeting this last November with them, they told me that EPA doesn't get involved unless it's an imminent health hazard. And because I asked them, I said, in those times where the Navy or the military or Department of Defense is telling you you don't have jurisdiction, if you don't, then the feds do. So have you gone back to them and told them? And they said they had not.
You mean the EPA?
EPA, right.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing, Carol, is DOD actually gives the state money for oversight and monitoring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I don't know how they spend it.
They spend it probably. Look, in the EALs and the sampling reports from the state that show you how distrustful I am of them. The state was in receipt of years of sampling reports for the drinking water at Red Hill. The public were not privy to those documents for years. And when I file a FOIA for them, we'll call it a FOIA or UIPA, Uniform Information Practice Act request. I made that request. I did get these documents, which I'm reading from now. And I'm told by Tanaba, the UST person that handles this, is a recipient of this these reports, that he had them placed under his desk for years and had just simply forgot them. Now, let me ask you something. If the Safe Drinking Water branch is in receipt of the reports, get their reports and status from the UST and the military submitting its reports on a quarterly basis, how did they say that the site-specific risk assessment was okay and the water was safe if the sampling was never released because they forgot them and had placed them on his desk?
Yeah, nobody's reviewed them to see if there was a problem or not.
And I hate to cast aspersion on people or entities, But it is what it is, Walter. You and I think right now we drive down Nimitz by the airport. As a result of this manipulation of EALs, the Air Force has built a mound about a half a block long and next to residential areas and the public, I think it's Dildren and Aldrin, if I'm not, Clordane, in these mounds. And what's going to happen to them over the years? And what's happening to the leaching and to the groundwater and the airborne particulates? But the state, in order to allow them to do that, increased the EALs.
Right, and who's monitoring it?
Yeah, no one, because the state doesn't have the money and they don't have the jurisdiction. So there's a really serious problem here. And as in regards to the EPA, the EPA is just as complicit in this problem that we are seeing unfolding quietly, because the state only has authority to enforce it through the kindness of the, so I'll use the term kindness of EPA. They adopt it and say that they will enforce it. And EPA even give them money to make sure that they can enforce it. But EPA knows that they read the same reports that say we increase the EAL. If Walter Chan can see that there's something appear to be nefarious about it or not efficient or effective, why wasn't the EPA? It's their job to do it.
Right.
So
I can't even get them to respond to me.
Yeah. And historically, EPA has at Pearl Harbor, I retrieved some documents where Senator John Glenn had acquired money and then passed a bill and gotten a bill passed and what have you. And here at Pearl Harbor, they fought the actual actions of that bill and the funding to identify and name the plumes and speak specific to certain plumes that they had ignored and wished to ignore and still ignore to this day. But the state says, we're over there inspecting. Well, they don't have the authority, number one. They don't have the expertise, number two. And they're damn sure not going to challenge the contractor that the Navy hires, because they don't. There's nobody on staff, even the acting person, the chief now, Bruce Anderson, does not have the expertise in dealing with these kinds of things. So it is a problem, a big problem, and it's just not moving the decimal. It's also covering up and facilitating, aiding, abetting, and making sure that you and I are, well, they won't answer me. And do you have that letter that they sent to Ernest Lau?
I did, yes.
You have a copy in front of you? I don't have it right in front of me. I want to have you try and explain to the public that first paragraph where they talk about the assessment and why they decided. And yet that was in referring to a recent changing of the EALs. And yet I'm reading in 2009 they changed the EALs again.
Right. So in this letter it's addressed by the Department of Health to Ernest Lau regarding his concerns about the TPH, or the total petroleum hydrocarbons, and fuels that's in the groundwater. That's actually water that we land up drinking. So they, this letter says in 2017, what they did was they updated their EAL guidance and increased the drinking water level from 0.1 milligram per liter to 0.4 milligram per liter. That's four times more than what it was originally. Now remember, you know, as I said earlier, we established these original EALs on some kind of a basis that we believe that if you drank this less than 0.1 milligrams per liter, that you wouldn't get cancer or get sick, and it wouldn't affect human health. So what happened was they decided to change it and upgrade it, and reason they gave was the physiochemical and toxicological nature of TPH-related compounds in groundwater.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what the study is. I don't know what it means. Basically, what it sounds like is we now figured out how to handle this a little bit better.
Now,
so we're going to increase it. Now, they're saying they consider this action level to be highly conservative for screening of groundwater at the majority of petroleum release sites overseen by HDOH. And they consider this to be a protective level.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's suspect, again, is that this upgrading, what are you doing to upgrade? I'm thinking that means a tighter screening, right? But no, it's just making the numbers, the discovery
higher.
Higher. So, again, keep that letter in hand for a minute. In 2008, 2009, it was 240 milligrams for the, in assuming that, right? For methyl naphthalene. Now, what are they saying today? What is it today? And they changed it from 240 to 4.7. What are they saying today?
They're just saying that they learned more information, and so because of this new information that they got, they are increasing the EALs. They don't tell us what the information is.
Right.
They don't verify with studies or anything.
And they don't reference it even in their reports to say that, okay, I understand that you don't have much space, but at least give a reference or footnote or something so that the public can, if you made a change or an quote upgrade, and that is so suspect because it sounds innocuous, you know, some terms such as that upgrade sounds like a good thing, but it conceals the fact that no science, and it's all based on a module. Right, a model of so to speak,
which is based on certain assumptions about human consumption, exposure, and that kind of stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, this report, 2009, the drinking water EAL for naphthalene was also updated during this process. Once again, upgraded. That term, it's previously HDOH based their naphthalene EAL on US EPA Region 9 preliminary remediation goals.
Right.
Once again, what you were saying, it's not just to be able to move the decimal and make it more accommodating, but some actions have to be taken along the way. That's what these EALs are supposed to be, right?
Right, but here's what I've learned about the EALs. Every time they move the decimal, every time they increase it to a higher level, it is millions of dollars to somebody.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, in the Kaneaway project, by moving the decimal and just spreading the contaminated soil, the Navy saved several millions of dollars for not having to handle the contaminated soil. In this case, where the water level, action levels are changed, it means that, you know, because the impact is really to us who drink the water, but the other impact, the business and money impact, is to the Navy.
Uh-huh.
It's their tanks that's leaking that's causing this contamination in the first place.
Right.
So as over the years and over the many, many years it's been leaking, as these levels start to increase, they just keep, well, it went up. Okay, so let's just move the EAL. Well, that's several million dollars that somebody got saved because we don't have to go and fix this problem. I mean, fixing that problem with the fuel tanks is a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Hit them where they screwed up the handling of the soil, and they basically what they did was mixed it with clean soil, and then they lost some of it, and some of it got transferred off base. And the bottom line is the neighborhoods are contaminated with this soil. One of the environmental companies, Tetra Tech, boasts that they saved over $20 million for contaminated soil at Hickam. And for a little while, it was on their
website.
I believe they took it off now, but it's true. They came up with this way to mix the soil, mix it up, spread it out, change the EALs, all this other kind of stuff. And it saves somebody money. So EALs has become a real money saver for business and for the federal government.
Right. Now, on HICM, I recall specifically, I know that the FBI was looking at it. We thought we were going to see some actions there. The company, the foreign company that was hired over there by to do the land by Abercrombie was one of the recruiters of them and what have you. That they started to dig and they knew exactly where the contaminated soils were. Then it was so hot that it was considered toxic, exceeded all levels. And so they were talking, well, you're going to have to ship it off island. So off island per ton, right? There comes your money you're talking about. The millions of dollars to have to ship it off island. So instead, what do? The state says, well, we can remedy that by just changing the EALs and it won't be toxic anymore.
Right. There was a couple of things that they did was they mixed it with, clean soil.
Uh-huh.
Then they increased the EALs, and then they said, what we're going to do is we're going to put it out in the neighborhoods, and then we're going to put this clean cover on it, this clean dirt.
Uh-huh.
But nobody ever samples the clean dirt, so we really don't know what clean means. And there were people getting sick at HICM. And they complained. And actually the contractor or the subcontractor filed a complaint. Then they started this investigation. The contractors went back and they told the state, look, we cleaned it all up. We fixed everything. And look, we took some samples and here everything is okay. And for some strange reason, the state actually went out and took their own samples.
Uh-huh.
And they found the soil to be higher than it was originally.
Right. But they concealed that and there was some of the soil was transported for hire to Haleiwa, to areas adjoining the Kamehameha Schools ground. And the state went to inspect, and what did they say? Oh, the levels were not too high to be a concern because of the EALs. But look, it's a hazardous material that was transported and not placarded on anything. It was illegal. And the gentleman that bought the soil from the people was breaking out in sores while he worked with the soil.
Yep.
So
that's not uncommon.
This is a reality. And one of the workers that called us on HICM had become sick and hospitalized because of the interaction between the chlordane or dilgen or algin, whatever those toxins were. And yet the state health department still sits and play this game about the EALs are too low. We can accommodate you. Let's go to Roger Brewer. Roger Brewer is the man, the magic man with the tea bag. He fixes it, gives us some kind of talent, some kind of explanation scientifically and mathematically. But you still got the Pilikia that brought this to his table.
Right, and when we look at the number of illnesses, the complaints, all of that is ignored.
And your situation over there at Kaneohe Marine Base, what's the status of that with the those toxic dirt?
It's still the same. The contractor went and did some soil sampling earlier this year. As I understand it, the state approved the soil sampling report. What I found is that the soil sampling report is not consistent with the multi-incremental sampling guidance issued by the state, that they've misinterpreted a lot of the information. But you can't trust the information because the chain of custody was broken.
Uh-huh.
So you got to wonder why is that? And it was kind of typical what we would expect is they manipulated the data. The state does the same thing. They manipulate data and scientific information constantly.
Uh-huh.
And because it's hard to explain, you know, it's hard to get the public involved with it. But I will tell you that the military families are really afraid to speak up. So it's, you know, one of these things they're not going to speak up. So I understand there's a lawsuit, but I don't know what the status of the lawsuit is.
Uh-huh. Well, I do know that the state health department is complicit and lends itself to the contamination that we're detecting and monitoring and finding in various places, it's because of an inaction or action taken by the state health department. And hands off, basically, until someone like Walter Chan comes in or someone raises a complaint. That's the only resistance that this whole process is, can have, actually, that you'll detect anywhere, unless someone files a lawsuit with a private lawyer. Other than that, right, we're working against a team of the EPA, State Health Department, and the military entities that figure they can save money and then boast that they save money, but they've put us all in jeopardy and the environment.
Right. And it's, again, like I said, it's not just now, it's going to affect the future generations. So unless we fix the process and look at the authority exercised by the Department of Health, how they do business, it really, the thorough investigation and some controls put on them, and so that they're not running around just changing numbers and moving that decimal whenever they want.
When you look at the qualification and the background of the people that there, a lot of them will claim, I've been working here for 10, 15, 20 years. Being there is one thing, but being able to show me what you've done to challenge this process, to say that you found contamination, you issued a citation, you took it to court. But again, another layer of problem that is a problem here is the Attorney General's office, because in the state agencies, all of them, they have an attorney, a deputy attorney general on hand guiding them, right? So
I would think.
Oh, they do.
But you know,
they do.
Interesting is, I asked that question at our meeting, and they did not. They don't. They are not in contact with the AG's office.
Who they who now?
The Department of Health.
Well, here's an interesting situation. You've heard of Kathy Ho? Kathy Ho is an attorney, a deputy attorney general that works for the state health department. That if you call up and ask for a document, it is likely that she or one of the other attorney general deputies that are assigned to the health department is going to intervene or give them some message. Well, don't let him have that document, but tell him we're not giving anything. And, you know, the bully factor, that's what you will find. So there's something very nefarious related to that, because just simply asking for documents in a timely fashion and being in receipt of them, they go to the attorney general, right? So Kathy Ho is just one of the deputies. And so Clean Air has maybe another attorney general deputy. So someone lied when they say they don't have an attorney general. I know they're lying. Because it's solid.
Well, no, they said they weren't in contact with them. And that was the hero.
But even if they weren't, that's even a bigger lie, because they have Kathy Ho just as an example there daily. So all they got to do is they go to lunch with her. You know, they all hang out together. I can tell you that much. So if they've told you that, then that's really, we've come to a place where it's really we should be concerned. Because they don't act, Walter, unless they consult the Attorney General.
True.
Yeah. And you, if you want to try it, send in a FOIA. You say they don't respond to you. Have you filed a formal request for ROI, request for information, or UIPA?
Yeah. No, I'm getting ready to file another one.
Yeah, okay. Well, but see, this is what I always get. Wait, what's a delinquency? You know, this is an old file. I want to look at it. Well, we had to send it to the Attorney General. We were waiting for them to look through the files and let us know what we can give you. Now, you imagine each citizen calls up and have to go through that process. Where's the transparency? while the law says you're entitled to come in the office and see, look at the documents in any business day, 8-hour day, right? Documents must be available. Now, I know there's exception and exemptions to the rule, but for each request that I get, I got to go through that process. And it has become more complicated because now they've moved up to Manana up in Pearl City. So getting there is difficult. You follow. So I really want to join forces with you on this EAL thing and see, maybe we go see some legislators, but I don't know. What would we be asking them for? Because they've been around. They've seen, their constituents are the ones who are being impacted, and you would think they would be raising the issues as well, right?
Uh-huh.
You have any legislators you've spoken with or that is – will lend themselves to
No, I haven't. I'm getting ready to start doing that.
Mm-hmm. But and so you know that even with that letter to Ernest Lau that the health department wrote.
Yeah.
Now, ask yourself. That's Ernest Lau is the Board of Water Supply. Why on earth is the Board of Water Supply having to write the state health department for asking for anything in a delinquent fashion when it should be delivered to him in a gold cart? Because he is the actual party, the body that manages the fresh water or the drinking water for the state or for the county of Honolulu, right?
Exactly.
Now, to me, I know that there's some contention going on between them. They don't want him to participate at certain levels of the meetings. Why and how? Because the Navy is controlling its little puppy dog, the State Health Department. And the State Health Department is barking at Larry Lau or Ernest Lau as if they're a big German Shepherd, when in fact they won't tell you they don't have authority. And they don't intend to have authority. It's just to serve as a conduit to get the Navy off the hook and get the military and the Army off the hook. And so Ernest Lau is in receipt of a letter like that. He drilled his own well, I understand, because he basically has concerns with the trustworthiness of the sampling and
right.
What is going on there at Red Hill. Now, that's my summation of it. But you look at that letter, it shouldn't be that way. They should have him sitting abreast of them, shoulder to shoulder, asking, how do we prevent this from continuing? And they didn't answer much in that letter. Now, I wrote a letter with asked for specific information. Roxanne Kwan, for 2 weeks, sat on it. So what did they do in responding to me? They sent me a letter that Ernest Lau was in receipt of saying, well, this is what we sent Ernest Lau. He had some questions. See if this letter answers your questions. How ridiculous. So your concerns with EALs are properly placed. I really believe that you're on to something because we've seen it. We've seen it unfold right between the lines there, the writings, you know?
Right.
So you're going to go down and talk. I have to be careful in my capacity as a lobbying because of a nonprofit organization, you know, the limited. But we can write letters and support, you know, the effort. You know, we're limited to the lobbying for as a nonprofit,
right.
You know, and plus I see what the other folks get when they lobby. Unless you're putting money in their hands, you ain't getting much results. I hate to say that, but that's the way it is here. But EALs come into play at Red Hill, Kaneohe Marine Base, Hickam, Pearl Harbor. I mean, imagine the millions of gallons of fluids that are in plumes underground migrating at Pearl Harbor. And you know how they got around it?
Uh-huh.
EALs.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, so, you know, and the guys that they have, very intelligent guys, there's Mao and some other guys, really good people. But their hands are tied because they don't have all the resources that they need to take on the Navy. Or, as you indicated yesterday, I think we were talking, Barbara Brooks is gone. That's a risk assessment person?
Right. Oh, wait, she was a toxicologist.
Toxicologist. But every time I bring a problem to them, they say, well, we're going to let her and Roger Brewer look at it, and then say, well, risk assessment. And what does that mean, by the way, the risk assessment? And then I'll let you go.
Well, the risk assessment is normally a study based on how it is believed that human contact will be affected. So normally we look at can this contaminant be ingested, inhaled, or absorbed by the skin?
Uh-huh.
And so that's really important. Ernest Lau addressed it in his letter with his concerns about the TPH in the water. So it's not just drinking the water, it was washing our hands, bathing in it, where the exposure could be, absorbed into our skin. So normally the exposure is evaluated, and then the way it's going to be transmitted, is it going to go airborne? Is it in the soil? Is it in our water? And so there has to be an assessment as to how we're going to control it and make sure it doesn't get released to create exposure. So the risk assessment is a study, basically, and it's normally very detailed. Our Hawaii Revised Statute requires these things.
Yeah.
But too often the Department of Health ignores it. The fact that they don't have one, or they did it, or they produced one that is, incomplete, they just ignore it.
Uh-huh. Do you think that we should, I'm tired of walking around in circles. It seems like I walked into the sports arena that's built like a circle. I'm just going around in circles chasing these folks. Do you think that getting in there and asking to have the EALs have a bill issued, drawn up, or do you think that we should make an issue that the fact that they are making these changes and they're substantial and that 343 applies maybe, under the environmental, you mentioned, under state constitution, state law, think we could approach it that way?
I think the approach would be that there's existing laws right now in the book that should be enforced, and they should apply to the state.
Right.
If the state decides they're going to change the EAL, then follow the rules to do the human health risk assessment, the ecological risk assessment to the environment, open it up to public comment, and go about it through the normal processes we have. Right now, they don't follow any process.
Uh-huh.
It's just whatever they want to do at the time.
Here's what's suspect. Now, the discussion is, they included to remedy this and address the Red Hill, for example. They incorporated other projects. And then it became a discussion of, are the tanks leaking or are they not leaking? We don't know. We'll put a monitoring system. When, in fact, they know that it's leaking. And they've already written reports to say that it's leaking. And yet the state should have, I believe, and I'm going to be asking them, especially Red Hill, to take some legal action, because it is a spill, it is a discharge, regardless of accidental or not, then there should be some monies collected, not worried about cleaning or fixing the tanks. They can do what they want to do with those. But to address the drinking water concerns that this water is already contaminated.
Right. The source of the contamination, they have to figure out where it is and then what to do about it.
And in 2006, Wilbrow's Engineering did a study suggested that due to the potential for irreparable damage to the aquifer in the event of a massive release, preventive measures be taken to avoid a catastrophic disruption of potable water services to the Pearl Harbor community.
Right.
All these things are already in place, but then you step back and you say, what do you mean you upgraded and updated You mean you change it? You know, let's use the term and say you change the EALs. You increase the EALs, but instead they upgraded. I'm thinking this is really suspect. But anyway, anything else?
No, Carol. Thanks for letting me speak to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm going to go back and post this and read your failure to protect our military families. I really would like to interview some of those people, or they could call up anonymously and talk to me. So if you know any of them out there that want to express their concerns publicly, let me know.
Okay, I will.
All right, Walter.
I'll keep you posted.
Thank you, Walter. Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. Well, folks, you know, it's difficult being me because I try to avoid all the scientific terms, because when I visit my friends, they don't have PhDs, many of them, attached to their names. They don't have scientists attached to their names. But they are drinking the water, and they are frequenting these places where the contaminated soils are being placed illegally. And it's just unsettling to find how and why the state health department and even the EPA. I just sometimes watch TV and I watch and listen to the radio and I read the articles in the paper, and they talk about Michigan and Detroit and Lansing and how the water was problematic and that no one did anything, and they were giving dirty water to the people there. I'm here to tell you our problem right here is tantamount or equal or bigger than Michigan, because they can fix their pipes, they can process their waters, but the aquifer here is clearly, and I'm going to read a couple of them in the next couple of minutes or so, that there's no question about, is it in the water? Have they had leaks? And you don't hear anybody saying anything, when I say anybody, within the state health department. The state health department should never, ever be sitting at the same desk with the Navy on the Red Hill matter. I'm not picking their friends, but I'm just saying, if you were sandwiched between the public and the environment and the Navy, and you're the regulatory body, but you're not telling the public that that the Navy thinks that it is a sovereign entity and has no responsibility to the health department, even giving them permission to be on base, on board. I've talked about this. Ed Case, who's now the new congressman who was representing the Navy, or Hunt, the one of the tenants there on the Navy at Y. Kelly, says as much. This is just, the Navy thinks it's sovereign, so therefore the rules and what have you don't apply in that instance. So there are some serious problems going on here, and I don't know what it is that we can do right now, but we're in a pickle. And all that's happening is the fancy move of the pencil, the moving the decibel, as Walter Chan talked about. So we have some problems here, folks, and you're not getting service. You're not getting treated properly. Our concerns are being ignored, and that's about it. Hopefully we can see some light at the end of the tunnel in the coming months and try to raise this issue up about the Red Hill, still yet the contaminants. And we talked about soils at Hickam. We even traced some of the soils that came from Hickam, went to Schofield Barracks. And then some of the stuff from Schofield Barracks was being transported and dumped out in the field out in Cuneo. So, again, the state tells you, well, they're operating within our EALs and our standards or the numbers that we allow or EPA has approved. But nobody's policing anyone. They're doing more protection than policing. So we'll be back in the next 5 minutes or so, and thank you for listening. This is the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Send us an email at carol@carolcox.com, or you can call in at 782-6627. Aloha.